Meanwhile, Sidney Prescott from the Scream franchise is enjoying a relaxing evening at home when her phone rings.
I'm so glad nobody cares about Billy Loomis's daughter anymore.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hello, Sidney.
No, I got away from you. What, you think you know what I'm doing? You think you know where I am? Well, then what am I doing right now, huh?
Hopefully you're preparing for retirement.
What? I thought you were trying to kill me.
No, quite the opposite. I'm trying to prolong your life. This is Jim from AARP.
Oh, no, that's right. I'm old.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Comic Book Queers, episode 332. I am your host, Brett. I am decked out in my favorite Scream merch, and with me, as always, is Evil Jeff, all in pink. Hi, Evil.
Hello. We do look like wicked. We look wicked. Like
we look wicked because I'm rocking like neon green on black.
And I have all like kind of dusty pink.
And you're a dusty
actually,
pink.
It's blush and bashful.
Those are Shelby's favorite colors. We want to address some Scream rumors. Thus, I'm wearing, not rumors, like news. Thus, I am wearing my garb.
Were you all like about to?
I'm all like, what?
And he was all like, and then she was all like, and then they were all like, and I was all like, what?
So there's been a lot of Scream 7 news, Evil Jeff. Like, before we report it, why don't we, like, what has happened so far? You know, even like, we were excited for these new Screams to come out. They're directed by people we love, like Christopher Landon, who did, what's my favorite? Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
You know.
Well, here, you said, what's happened so far?
Yeah, yeah.
1995.
Oh.
Kevin Williamson had a dream. And no.
And he called Wes Craven. Yeah. I'm glad you cited Kevin Williamson. He will come up in this conversation.
Yeah, so basically the big news is that the original cast ended up kind of, the stars ended up either being let go or backed out because of either controversies. Some say controversies, some say, it was a whole political mess.
Melissa Barrera, who is like our new protagonist in the Scream franchise, expressed some pro-Palestinian views right basically when the war between Israel and Hamas broke out.
Yes,
And she was
the company
subsequently
producing
fired.
Scream did not like that.
Did not like that.
So she got let go, and then the real star, Miss Wednesday Addams herself.
Jenna Ortega.
She then was like, oh, then I'm out too. And then they kind of scrapped the whole thing and were like, Mrs. Campbell, can you come back? And we're just
we'll actually pay you, because she had left due to a payment dispute.
Discrepancy.
So she was not in Scream 6.
Well, I think she was probably asking for leading actress money for probably a cameo.
A cameo, yeah. Yeah.
But they're like, hey, we'll pay you that leading actress money, but now you got to be in the whole goddamn thing.
But honestly, I enjoyed not having Sidney Prescott in Scream 6.
Yeah, I also think the whole situation, someone literally just kind of, I felt, spoke their mind about a topic that was important to them, and
and they were fired for it.
And they were fired for it. So I thought that was kind of messed up. I think it's kind of messed up that Amy Schumer can spread misinformation about Palestinians raping people. And now she has a show coming out on Netflix and her career's fine. I just find that I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But I do love Scream, so I am curious of what is going to be happening with Scream 7.
We do love Scream. We are annoyed. You know, it's kind of like what old is new again. So we're going to have Neve Campbell coming back. We're going to have Kevin Williamson, the original writer.
Is it Neve Campbell or is it Neve Campbell?
Is it Neve or Nev? Like, I feel like the E on the end makes it Neve.
Neve Campbell?
I've always said Neve ever since Party of Five.
I'm looking up, how do you pronounce Neve?
I know how to pronounce the cast members of Party of Five. There's Lucy Chabert.
What?
There's Matthew Pox.
Okay, Matthew Wolf
and Scott Fox.
Lucy Chabert.
Lucy Chabert from Frosty the Snowman. From Hot Frosty the Snowman.
What
are you doing?
I'm playing a thing that says how to say it. Nev Campbell.
It's Nev?
Yes.
That's wrong. Okay, back to Nev Campbell, which is insane that I'm pronouncing it like this all of a sudden after years, decades of saying Neve. All right.
Well, it's not a name. She doesn't have a real name.
Neve is not a name.
Yeah.
So I'm wrong.
Nev. It should have been Bev Campbell.
It should have been Bev, right?
I am Bev. Yeah, she was. And she didn't even become an actress. She was just a diner waitress.
Or Beav, short for Beaver.
Yeah. Beav. Beaver Campbell. Just
that's,
like
that should be the porn parody of Scream.
From RuPaul's Drag Race. We need to talk about that, too.
Oh, God. We need to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, too.
Did you watch The Untucked?
I did not watch The Untucked.
What?
Wait. Oh, my God. Really?
The Untucked was the whole
okay,
thing.
Okay, stop. Scream. Okay, Scream.
We'll get to it.
Scream. Scream.
We'll get to it.
Scream. Okay, so the big news that we are getting to is that... Well, let's go over the cast, shall we? Because I've got a nice graphic right here. I didn't appreciate who the new cast members were. I'm, like, super psyched for a number of these actors. Can we talk about the girl from Madame Web? In our graphic, top right corner, the one that played Maddie Franklin, one of our teenage Spider Women in Madame Web, she's in it. We've got Madame Web cast member.
Heartbreak High. He played like kind of a villain.
Heartbreak High. Yes.
Did you watch that show?
And he was also in The Fablemans. I did not watch Heartbreak High.
It's great.
But it's that actress.
Wait,
I think
so
her name
the,
is Celeste
the
O'Connor.
People from the previous franchises are also in this.
Yeah, so Jasmine, I had heard that Mason Gooding. I heard he was coming back. I had heard that, what's her name? Jasmine Savoy Brown. Is that her name? The one from Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
I heard she was not coming back, but it seems she will be back in it. But then the new, look at the bottom center, girl. We've got the kid from The Boys, Asa German.
Who, is that Hayden Panettiere?
No, it's Isabel May, who is going to be playing Sydney's daughter.
So is Hayden not going to be in this?
I don't think Hayden is going to be in this one, no. Which I'm like, anytime somebody's not in it, I'm like, good, they'll live.
True, yeah, they'll come back.
Their character had a happy ending. They lived.
But here's the thing that we need to look at is there are people that are dead in this movie.
But first of all, and I just want to say Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect and True Blood, who fucking love.
Okay, good for you. I do.
Okay, McKenna Grace, girl. McKenna Grace. McKenna herself.
Who?
Okay. McKenna Grace, the one. Oh my God. I don't know what character she is, but she's on the left under Jasmine. She's like the girl that she was young Captain Marvel. She was young Sabrina. She was in everything. And then she started to be in her own movies. McKenna Grace.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were still talking about the girl from Pitch Perfect. I don't like her.
No, I love her, Anna Camp. Oh, my God. Also,
Anna Camp, I don't like her at all.
Girl, Mark Consuelos?
I can't wait for him.
Of Kelly and Mark?
But here's the thing. Who are these people? No, it said, weren't they saying that Joel McHale was going to be her husband?
All right, so this is the thing that makes me so fucking mad. In Scream 5, Sydney said, I've got to get back home to Mark. The implication was, and the directors verified it in an interview, that she was referring to Mark, the detective from Scream 3, played by Patrick Dempsey, who there was some romantic tension with.
Yes.
But no. Turns out she's married to some other fucking dude named Mark, played by Joel McHale.
Yeah. But here's the real question is how is Matthew Lillard and Scott Foley, how are they in this if their characters
two
are dead?
Ghost faces. How are they in this? Scott Foley was shot
through
the
mirror
forehead.
Has two ghost faces directed by Barbra Streisand.
Scott Foley was shot through the brain. He played Sydney's long lost brother.
Matthew Lillard was killed by a television set.
Had a TV dropped on his head, which I feel like you could survive.
Yeah, but I think they know he's dead. Like, they recovered the body. You know what I mean? Like,
so there would be news
that, like, his body was missing.
There's no way he's playing Stu Mocker, right? There's no way Scott Foley is playing Roman Bridges.
Well, there's two things that are happening. There's two things that could be happening. We all remember that Sydney's mom was in Scream 3, but she was dead because she was playing ghost hallucinations. So there's a very, you know, and Billy Loomis was in the other Screams as a ghost hallucination. So they could very well just be hallucinations of killer's past that she has killed. I have a different idea.
Do you? Do you have a theory?
Are you familiar with something called the new nightmare?
I don't know. Am I?
You're prepared for this already.
I have a graphic up of Wes Craven's New Nightmare, everybody.
In New Nightmare, Heather Langenkamp isn't playing Nancy. She's playing the actress Heather Langenkamp. And Wes Craven is in the movie. It's playing
Robert,
at meta.
Robert
and
Englund
that Freddy
is
coming out of the next script and starting to kill the actors from the movie. So this
yeah, the
isn't
premise.
In the, yeah. So the premise
was like the stories were like he was this ancient entity and the stories were able to contain him. And because they were no longer making the stories, the entity was then free. And so the way Nancy beats him at the end, I'm sorry, the way Heather Langenkamp beats him at the end is by accepting the role of Nancy.
Yeah. And that scene with the phone, is that where the tongue comes out?
It's like a take on where, yeah, they redo it so that it's happening to Heather Langenkamp, just like it happened to her character in the first. Also, I want to remind you that Wes Craven's New Nightmare is Nightmare on Elm Street 7.
Seven?
Just like Scream. I'm a big proponent of the new nightmare theory that Matthew Lillard will be playing Matthew Lillard. That Scott
yeah,
Foley
if every,
will be
so
playing
if they're
Scott
making
Foley.
A new Scream movie and the killer is actually so pissed that it's not the regular cast from before.
So how great.
Or something that they start actually killing all of the original ghost faces. So
that would
I
be
think there would
incredible.
Be a great twist would be because the people that never got like Drew Barrymore type kill is the killers. So having the killers have like a Drew Barrymore type murder would be kind of amazing. The only thing that would add to this is if Dylan McDermott and Emma Roberts were listed in the cast, then we would be like, uh-oh.
I'm holding out for Laurie Metcalf.
Laurie
myself.
Metcalf. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? But like, or just like do like, so now I'm at the point where if they don't do the new nightmare route, I am going to hate it. Like this is all I want to see now.
I know. Cause this idea is so good. It's like, how can you top that?
And that the victims are all past Ghostface killers. Like that would be amazing. I would just love a TV, like news on the set of a tragedy on the set of ABC's The Conners, actress Laurie Metcalf found dead.
Yeah. But can you imagine if the opening kill is Laurie Metcalf?
Right.
It would be amazing.
So I would love it if all of that would mean, though, that all these actors, these new actors that we're talking about would be playing themselves. Anna
but
Camp,
then the
who
big
you hate,
reveal
would be playing
is the real
herself.
Killer is Roseanne Barr. Oh.
She's going to murder somebody if she hasn't already.
I mean, with Trump, with her being on Trump's side.
Isn't she like she transportation secretary?
I know at this point. Yeah. Yeah. She's going to be put in charge of something where she's going to have free reign to do something terrible.
Now, once again, Evil Jeff, we have a new Scream movie. We have an announced cast. There's one square on here we haven't really touched. And that's Miss Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox.
And I swear to fucking God, here we are again.
Oh, are they going to kill her?
Six times. If they kill Gail Weathers, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I really don't.
I even said before, I'm going to say this. Previously, we always knew Dewey was the expendable one. I feel, and if it is, it's like this movie's probably not going to be good and I'm just not going to really just hold it up as anything if they do. But I do feel Courtney Cox and Neve Campbell are untouchable. They're just untouchable.
At this point,
characters.
They're untouchable. Like, you're getting it wrong if
people,
you kill them.
You cannot kill either of them.
No.
And if they are like, we want to do something big and bold, and she's the first kill, I'll probably leave the theater.
I will, too. Ugh. That's not going to make it good.
No. You also need the Nev... That dynamic between the two of them and how it's evolved over time, it would be all pointless if she just dies. You know?
Yeah, they're Jean and Emma. They're untouchable. They're sacred. Yeah. God, they're so Jean and Emma. It's like ridiculous.
Oh. All right, let's move on.
All right, new nightmare. Should we talk about some TV?
I think we should. Click it.
Oh, you're going to... You want me to do it?
I want you to do it, baby.
I refuse. Here we go.
Whatcha watching? Does it mean naked? No? Fine.
All right.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man from Marvel Studios, Marvel Animation, is here. I have not watched it. Because
your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Go on. Yeah.
Well, I didn't watch it because of the actor Hudson Thames, who voices Peter Parker, when asked, what was your worst fear going into this? He did not respond with something media trained like, well, this is just such a legacy character. You know, it's so he means so much to so many people. I just hope I get it right. No, his answer was, well, I was just worried it was going to be annoying and woke. So I'm not going to watch it. Evil Jeff, what'd you think?
I think not watching the whole show with all the people who worked on it just because of what a voice actor stupidly said, I don't think that's a reason enough to not watch it.
Well, they should be mad at him then.
The director came out and said he misspoke.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to hear what he has to say about that. Also, the show, if I was a Republican, the show is pretty woke. So the fact that he's like, I love it. I just didn't want it to be annoying and woke. Most of the characters have been changed to people of color.
Wow.
His best friend is a lesbian Asian woman. Osborn is a black man. Lizard is a Latina woman. Like, it's...
Osborn's it's a black pretty, man. Lizard's a Latina woman?
Coleman Domingo.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds woke to me.
But that's what I mean. It's pretty woke. So he's like, I love it. So he's not... So if he was some weird Trumper, he would hate this. So that's why I question of, like... What did he mean by woke? And maybe he ignorantly means that idea of like, oh, they were just like trying to like do a grab and like just trying to like make it all like, you know, for the Gen Zs and changing everything just for Gen Z, but it being stupid and bad, which is stupid, a stupid thing to say. And I feel like he should come out and apologize. But for me, it's not reason enough to not want to watch a movie. I feel the same way about Emilia Perez, which is a movie.
Oh, we should talk about that.
We can talk about that too.
Yeah.
So I did watch it.
Okay.
But here's the thing. It's okay. It's also, why do we need this?
So isn't this supposed to be kind of filling in what Tom Holland's character was doing upon discovery of his powers? Isn't that the
premise? That was the original thought, and then they scrapped that. This is not connected to... I originally thought this is Tom Holland, how he became Spider-Man, and everything up to Iron Man coming to get him. So everything up to, like, Civil War. They realized he probably can't have a love interest. You know what I mean? It was like there's too many things set in stone and too many stories already in place that it's like, oh, we really can't tell any stories because there's too many things. So they scrapped it. So there's no... was he with Gwen Stacy in the first one? Is that who he had the crush on?
No, it's Liz Allen.
Who's Michael Keaton's daughter?
Liz Allen.
Liz Allen. So there's no Liz Allen. There's no MJ. He does end up having a friend, which are you? Joe, I was watching with Joe and he was making fun of me because he read Spider-Man comics. So he actually knows more about Spider-Man comics. Like as soon as he saw.
Really?
As soon as he saw the character that was going to be Lizard, it was a woman without an arm.
Yeah, Dr. Connors.
Human, and he was like, oh, that's Lizard. I'm like, oh, how do you know? And he's like,
girl, he's like, put him on.
Host a comic book podcast. Why get out of here. Know?
Swap him. Swap him in.
I know, right? He should come here and do it. He just knows more than me. but the interesting thing is his best friend is Nico from Runaways.
Wait, like Nico the character? Minoru.
Yeah.
You mean the actress is voicing her?
No, the character from the Runaways.
Wait, like Sister Grimm is in this?
Yeah, Nico Minoru is his best friend. Is like a lesbian.
Hold the phone. What? The Runaways are in this?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Oh my God.
And because at first he's like best friends with like an Asian person, and me and Joe thought it would be Silk.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, because I know Silk is, but Silk's Korean.
Yeah.
But then Joe was telling me that Silk has a thing with hormones, that because they were bit by the same spider, she's really horny for Spider-Man whenever she's around him.
Yes.
See, that's where I was like, what? I did not know that. That is such a crazy plot point.
Isn't that crazy? I love that.
But anyway, it's weird.
Does she have her staff?
No. Oh, she's God. Just a normal student. So that's weird. It was like, are they going to add that?
Is there a Ned?
Here's the thing. It opens with him going to school, and then there's a huge battle where an interdimensional symbiote spider comes out and starts attacking everybody. And Doctor Strange comes through the portal and starts saving the day. But before the portal closes, as he pulls him back in, a spider from that world is left and bites Peter. And I was like, oh, so now we're going to see how he becomes Spider-Man and all of that. But here's the other thing. He gets bit then, but in the car, he told Aunt May, I'm so sorry about Uncle Ben. Things aren't the same since he died. Where I was like, oh, Uncle Ben, it's weird. Where Uncle Ben is the, and it's in the Spider-Verse. His death is the main thing that makes people become be the real Spider-Man. But he's already dead. So
yeah, I mean, didn't we know that? That's what's happening in the Marvel, in the cinematic universe. Like they're really making it seem like it's Aunt May that made him really.
Oh, you know what I mean? Right. So it's Aunt May instead of Uncle Ben. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think Ben is dead in the MCU because they did show a briefcase with his initials on it one time.
Right. But I still thought that he died after he became Spider-Man.
Right. Who knows?
He didn't. Oh. No, it's established.
It's established.
They were talking about Uncle Ben being dead, and then the battle happens, and then he gets bit by the spider.
Wow. But here's
the thing is I was like, oh, and so, and then was the credits. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. And now we're going to see him like wake up with the powers and discover. It immediately cuts to him already had made the web shooters and he's going around as Spider-Man. So I was like, they just fast forwarded and he's already like trying to be Spider-Man.
I truly thought this whole thing was like prequel and I'm a little disappointed, but then when you said symbiote, I'm like, oh, there's the reason. There's the reason it's not the early adventures of Tom Holland, so they can do Venom stuff.
Yeah, they want to do... I think they established also there's a girl named Pearl.
Pearl Bailey?
Pearl Pangan?
Okay.
Is that from the Spider-Man world? That's the person he has a crush on, which is his old babysitter.
It's...
I think they needed to establish new love interests And it's hard to establish new love interests when it's like, oh, this is all like, you know, within like 8 months when fucking Tony Stark shows up, he's going to not care about any of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But also at the same time, rather than being called by Tony Stark to intern for him, he's called in by Norman Osborn.
Okay.
He's interning for him. And in his and the people that are interning with him is wait, who is the person? One of the people that he's interning with is someone named Amadeus Cho.
No.
Yep. And then I think her name's Aja, and she's from Wakanda. Is that a familiar character name? Mm-mm. But anyway, there's a Wakandan character.
Okay.
And Amadeus Cho. And then there's a few other people. And then Paul F. Tompkins plays Bentley Whitman. Is that a character?
That sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Anyway, so then his like there's like Doctor, there's like Norman Osborn, and then there's the girl who's going to be Lizard, and then another guy, and then they have a bunch of interns, including Amadeus Cho. And so he's interning at night. This is the one thing I did not understand. He interns at night and goes to school during the day, but he keeps being like, all right, yeah.
Bentley Whitman is the Wizard, the Marvel.
Oh, the Wizard. Oh, okay. There you go. So, but here's the thing. He interns at night. And there's things where it's like after school, like kids are going to parties. He's like, oh, I need to go save the day. I have to go to the bathroom real quick. And then they're like, where are you? It's like 9:30 at night. And I'm like, why are they interning? It's just weird where it's like, what office is this where you're having to intern a full time till 9:30, 10 p.m. at night?
That's so Oscorp.
Yeah, but I'll say this at the end. Should I spoil it? Are you going to watch it?
Yeah.
Do you care?
Yeah. No, I don't care.
At the end of episode 2, Norman Osborn has him on video. Like, he calls him up and he's like, so, you're Spider-Man? Because he has him on video changing into it while he was, like, trying to save the day.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, it's okay. The animation, I'm not really liking.
Okay.
It's supposed to look like panels from a 1960s comic. But it's still using what if 3D animation and they're trying to flatten it. And I think they're trying to mimic, but doing their own thing of what the Spider-Verse does, but not doing it right.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then Joe was bitching because Joe's an animator, and he was saying, he was like, when people are standing still and talking, watch how often they move their hands, and that's how I can tell if it's animated well.
Oh.
Because he'll be like, the characters are like, so anyway, it was a long day, and he's like, he's like, that's amateur animation where you're like, you don't need to do that. Anyway, it's okay.
Okay, great.
Let's move on.
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I will watch. Maybe. I don't know. Sounds pretty woke. Severance, episode 3.
Wait, before we talk, did you do a graph for Emilia Perez?
No, let's just do you and me. Let's talk about Emilia Perez.
I want to talk about that because I feel like that goes back to the Spider-Man with the guy tweeting
with the
controversial
annoying and woke
stuff.
Okay.
Emilia Perez, her old tweets came out where she said, out
the
of
actress
pocket, crazy shit.
Carla
and I will
Sophia
say this,
Gascon.
I hate the movie Emilia Perez. So is I'm sorry, what's her name again?
Carla Sophia Gascon.
Carla Sophia Gascon. I do not believe if one actor says something out of pocket that you throw the entire movie out.
I do.
I think it's a bit different if like maybe the people creating it, but I do feel it's a little unfair when an actor, you find out they did something fucked up and then all these people that are making it, you kind of
whatever they got paid
out with the bathwater. I, however, don't care that much because I hate this movie. My husband, who loves the movie, feels that she is being sought after and they're going after her because she is trans. They're targeting the trans person and digging through all of her stuff. And my thing was, but she did say fucked up out of pocket stuff. And he's like, but the only reason they target her in the first place is because she was trans. And I'm like, but does that mean we should like give her a pass? She said that George Floyd like deserved it and is a thug.
What?
And I'll tell you this, it's when you're dealing with people outside of America and they are Americans are very nuanced. They understand the nuances of race. And when you're from a country where everyone is when it's not, where there isn't racial diversity, yeah. You can be a lot more ignorant. But she also was trashing Selena Gomez, calling her a dirty rat. In like 2013, like they dug deep. But that is not the main problem. The main problem is the actress that won for the Brazilian movie.
Yeah, Fernanda Torres.
Carla Sofia said, with no proof, that she is going around town trashing her and the movie and trying to get her not to win. And there's no proof of that. Like, she's never said anything to the press or anything like that. There's no proof of it. So she's basically bad-mouthing her, saying she's trashing me. She's trying to get the movie ruined. And she's saying that it's a terrible movie, blah, 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 blah. That is against when you are nominated, you are sent rules of engagement and you are not allowed to ever say anything negative. About
yeah. You're another not, nominee. You can't do negative press. Yeah.
And she did. So now people are calling for her to be disqualified. But I do hate the idea that the only person to have a nomination rescinded is like
the first trans. Oh, God.
So that seems really fucked up. So it is. It's a dicey.
Well, listen, this will all wash away when Demi Moore is standing up there holding her Oscar. Girl,
for me, it's like, give me some Conclave and Demi Moore.
Give me some Demi Moore. You know what? No, I want Sebastian Stan. Give me some Sebastian Stan for his bravery for Different Man and for the Trump movie. Give it to him. He's the only one that had balls. Sebastian Stan's balls.
Anyway, I just wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, because no,
it's a shame. The Oscars it's a real shame. Are crazy. It's like nuts.
Oh, I can't wait. Anyway, but Severance episode 3.
First of all, you're telling me Gwendolyn Christie and Merritt Weaver are now in the cast.
Yep.
Merritt fucking Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave the best Emmy's acceptance speech of all time.
Yep. What did she win? She won for the motorcycle, right?
No, she won for Nurse Jackie. Sons.
Oh, Nurse Jackie.
Yeah, and she just walked up there and went, thank you so much. I gotta go. And walked off.
Yep.
Best acceptance speech ever.
Best.
Anyway, Gwendolyn Stacy is playing an insane
Gwendolyn Stacy.
Farmer.
She's an... listen, I think... And if you haven't watched Severance, I'm not going to do, we're just going to, this conversation is not going to make sense unless you've seen it. I think these people are goats. I don't know. Like, are these goat people?
But these people, I'm like, did these people have outies? They look like they haven't bathed in days.
They struck me as like unhoused. Are there outies unhoused?
I don't know.
Are they
just there all the time? I want to know what is up with these people. It's weird.
And what are they doing? So, you know, so this is Helly and Mark, their innies, stumble into, they're walking around looking for who he thinks is his dead wife, Gemma. Mrs. What's her name? And they stumble into this giant, like, green room. Where it's like, it's one of the big white rooms, but it's covered in like grassy hills. It's got grassy hills in it. And there's people like wearing goat hides over themselves to pretend as if they are one of the goats. There are many goats in this room. And there's many people dressed as goats. And then there's Gwendolyn Christie, who's got a ton of makeup on. Her hair is disheveled. She's wearing this frumpled suit.
Dirt on her face.
What is she doing? Who are these people? They call themselves mammalian naturalists or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think they're herding the clone goat, the clone goats. So they're goat herders.
Why are they dressed as goats? What was the man talking about when he was like, he's really good at stargazing? What was that?
I have no idea. All I'm saying is this shit better not be lost where they don't explain it.
I know.
Because I love it. I love how it's crazy to get and a little, weird it is.
A little out of hand. It's starting to get a little
out of hand. But that, I really have no idea about this. There's things where you're like, oh, I think Mrs. Swang is Gemma Young, a young clone version. I think I can figure some things out. This
girl, is so out of nowhere.
I think it's connected to the cloning. That's all I can say, is it's connected to the cloning.
This is what I'm concerned about, is it's just getting doing weird shit with no, and we're going to be like, could you explain one thing before you keep inventing new weird shit for us to be like, what the fuck is that? Like, just play with us a little here, like a little give and take, give us information and then do weird. Like, I'd like to know who Mrs. I'd like some context around Cobell. I'd like some context around Milchick. I'd like some context around what they're doing in here.
I think, but even the first season, I don't think it was until like the fourth episode that you started being revealed, like what was going on.
Sure.
So I think it's going to take a few before they start revealing some stuff. Do you have other slides on this one?
No.
Just this one. Okay.
Just this one. We can put her away.
I also want to talk. Merritt Weaver shows up as Dylan's wife.
Right. Dylan's Audi wife.
She strangely seemed to like any Dylan more than Audi Dylan.
Because Audi Dylan, we're learning, is kind of a loser.
Yeah. And I think people were talking about how she said that she loved him, any Dylan, and did not say I love you to Audi Dylan like when she was leaving. And is she a security guard or is she a cop?
I'm not sure.
So that's all very interesting.
Super interesting. And it sucks because Dylan, I think, had this fantasy of who he was in the outside world, and it was not somebody who could not hold down a job.
Yeah. And then I also want to talk about the character Natalie. She's the one that's always communicating with the board.
Natalie.
Is she a human? What is going on with her? She does not act like a human.
I think she's so corporate that
she's just cultified.
But I also think there was real connection and nonverbal communication going on between her and Milchick.
Yeah.
Where they were giving him the horrifically offensive, I forget what they like, recanonized paintings.
Yeah, they basically repainted the ones with
of Keir, the founder.
Of Keir, but if it was him
with black skin.
So they
skin.
Basically just put them all in put him in blackface and everything.
Yeah, I mean, like they kept his blue eyes. Like yeah, it's really
so weird.
Horrific. But she, you know, she is likely of mixed race. You know, he is black, and when she was giving him the paintings, she was smiling with such a strained face that was like, as if to say, like, don't say anything.
It felt like Get Out. Just, like, it felt like the characters from Get Out.
Very Get Out. Like, she definitely was saying something to him with her eyes that she was not saying with her words.
It's very strange. And then she shows up to Rickon, basically being like, the Innies love your book. We want to rewrite your book just for the Innies. And then what's his wife's name? Devin. Devin shows up and she immediately kind of knows to like keep her cool, but she also knows to like leave Rickon out of everything, where he, a lot of times he's like, oh, have you told Rickon about this? And she's like,
no.
And it leaves me, this is the one thing I don't understand. Why are they together? It does not seem that she likes him. She does not trust him. And part of me, I wish they would explain that. And part of me is thinking that he was kind of more normal.
And then something
was like,
happened.
I want to write this book. And then he wrote the book and then everyone loved it. And he kind of turned into a crazy culty weirdo.
Yeah.
I kind of want, because right now I'm like, why you two, she's cool.
She is the only normal one in the entire town.
Yeah. And so it's like, why are you with this Looney Tunes guy?
Yeah, it's weird. And what's up with Rebecca?
With who?
Every week with Rebecca. You have to get in on the Rebecca. Come on, Rebecca. It's Rebecca is one of Rickon's friends, and they're always making fun of her.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty dumb. I watched the season one, episode one again. And there's this really great scene that I completely forgot about with Rickon and his friends. And they're having a dinner party and they're very pretentious and they're really trying to sound intellectual. And one of his friends says, did you know that during World War One, they called it the Great War? It wasn't in vogue to call it World War One. Isn't that fascinating? And like Mark just looks at them and he's like, yeah, because there was no World War II yet, so they wouldn't know to call that World War One. And everyone just freezes, like, oh. And so there's something intellectually holding these people back. And I'm dying to know. It actually, I think it's the same guy who was like, I found her. I'm the one that found the baby in the season one finale. Anyway, there's one thing
I forgot is the character that was helping his old coworker that was trying to be reintegrated.
Petey.
The person
I forgot
doing
all
that
about
procedure,
Petey.
The person doing that procedure.
Oh,
the
woman.
Her name?
The woman doing the procedure.
This this episode ends with her reintegrating Mark. What?
Yeah, so that's going to be incredible.
You're saying they're not revealing a lot. That seems like, I didn't think that was going to be happening.
Actually, that's true. That happened quick. And I read theories on Reddit that says he's not going to be able to do his job now that he's reintegrated. There's something about they need any Mark to complete this Cold Harbor project, whatever that is. But I think now that he's reintegrated, he probably has lost the ability to do his job. Correct.
Do you think all of this cloning and all of this is just to bring back to resurrect the original guy?
Absolutely. Doesn't the new opening credits ends with like a baby version of Kier at Mark's feet? I do. I actually think Mark is clearly working on his wife because they flashed her face on the screen. So I wonder, like, is Mark recreating his wife? Is he reprogramming his wife? They move numbers into five different buckets. That's their job, is when numbers make them feel weird, they move it. You know, I think the five buckets represent the five types of brain waves. Cause didn't the reintegration process, wasn't that about realigning those five brain waves?
Yes.
So I think that's, there's something about these five brain waves. I think it's one person, five brainwaves, like alpha, beta, gamma, like those. I think that is what Mark is fucking with, is somebody's five brainwaves.
Oh, okay.
And likely his wife, because it's her face on the monitor. So
what's the
irony of
animated? It's starting to remind me a lot of that Amazon animated show. Where people were being loaded up into AI.
The one with
that
hot guy? That
show? Fuck, what was it called? Anyway, but there was a character, it was like a Steve Jobs character, and they actually cloned him. And they were purposely raising him to have the exact same childhood life so that he would become the same person. So it had like a fake dad and a fake mom fighting and doing the same like moments of trauma so that he would become the same like Steve Jobs character. What was that show called? Oh, it drives me crazy.
I don't know, but I'm going to hit the comic book music in a second.
Okay. Oh, wait, don't you want to talk about Drag Race?
Oh my God, we have to talk about Drag Race.
What do you think?
I think somebody got a dose of reality and somebody should feel humbled moving forward. Cause you know that Arietti. Yeah.
No, I don't think she's going to change.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I can't really speak much since I'm way many episodes ahead.
Yes.
But the thing that I watch the episodes ahead cause I edit Fashion Photo Review, but I do not get to see the Untucks. And Brett, I don't know.
I didn't.
But if you're watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story. This is this episode, like top 10 best fights.
Tell me who? Wait, can I guess?
Yeah.
Ari Eddy.
Versus.
Oh my God. Who is somebody who will tell her about herself? I want to say whore Mona Lisa, because she will tell you about yourself, but who will really tell you about yourself?
It's Ari Eddy
and Jewel
going off that she did not win. Like she thought that she should win.
Oh, who won? Anya?
No, Susie Two.
Susie Two. Because she was fantastic.
And in the episode, do you remember how she, Lexi Love nicknamed them the Kumbaya girls, like the nice girls?
Yeah.
They're the nice girls. They can't kiki and they can't be bitchy.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happens when someone calls them? Those girls, they're now called the Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, no. Did Lexi make that up?
No. I think the fans are calling them that.
Oh.
Or Anya Nerve maybe have, but Benny was calling them the Sour Patch Kids because they're being full sour. It was full sour grapes.
Wow. I can't wait to watch.
They hated everyone in that group hated Susie Toot's clown outfit.
I thought it was delightful.
They're like, your clown outfit's terrible. How could you be in the top? And On Your Nerves is like, but she did the best in the challenge. And they're like, but her outfit's bad. And then Susie Toot's like, excuse me, the judges liked my outfit. And they were like, no, but my outfit's better. And she's like, and then Anya, it basically became Anya Hormone. Because then Ari Eddy basically is like, I shouldn't be here. And Jewel's like, what do you think someone should be? He's like, yeah. And she's like, who? And she starts going off being like, you're terrible. You should not have been. You're terrible. I did better than
you. She's
awful. I did better than you. And then Susie Two was literally just like, well, the judges said that your performance didn't have this. And they're all like, no, it did. It did. And she's like,
it was so
I'm
bad.
Just telling you what the judges said. Like, right. She's also like, this is what RuPaul says. And they're all like, no, that's crazy. That's like the people that weren't there for the judging, the Safe Queens. They're like, no, she was the, like, they were like, Ari Eddy is like, Corey King was like, Ari Eddy was like the best.
What? Like, Corey King's another one that just has no idea what comedy looks like.
And then Susie Toot is literally like, all right, you all can hate on me, but the judges loved it.
Yeah.
And so you can suck it. And then Anya is like,
fuck you.
She's like, it's about the challenge, baby. It's who does best in the challenge, not who has the best looks.
Yeah.
Like, have you not ever seen the show before? And I think Susie Toot was being a little condescending and dismissive of Lexi. And I think Lexi now hates her.
Yeah.
Because when they were also prepping for the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, Lexi, you've been in the writer's room writing sketch. Like, Lexi's ideas weren't aligned with the concept. Like,
but here's the other thing. Susie is comfortable being like, no, I like this. I like this. Lexi could have just said, no.
Right.
I like this and I'm going to do that. Like, you have to fight. You have to fight for your position.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
You
and Susie
like,
felt comfortable doing it. Lexi didn't. And then she got sour about it, being like, oh, she's like steamrolling over me. You fight back. You tell her, no. I like this idea and I'm going to do it my way. Like, you just have to fight
and that's,
for it.
And that's fine. But it's like, okay, but your ideas are not aligning with the joke that we are telling. Like,
Susie was right because they loved that part.
Lexi was not good. Like, and then Lexi had like, I think afterwards was like, well, I actually do think I could be like a news anchor for real. Girl, it was not good.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was like, I didn't realize how delusional Lexi was.
I've seen other RDR of those. I've seen worse.
Sure. But it still wasn't funny.
Neither of them deserve in the bottom. But here's me. Ari Eddy. That was one of the worst.
Awful.
That was one of the worst things ever. So, I mean, people that are just like, no, but she like went big and it's
no,
like, who cares?
No, that's not,
it wasn't
you, like,
funny.
That's not good. Like, just
funny.
Because you went big, like, you can't start at a 25 and then maintain the 25. You started a 3 and you get to a 10. Like, that's
but
how
also,
you do it.
Being at 100 at not funny makes it a million times less funny.
Right, exactly.
Like, it was just never funny.
It starts to get, like, disturbing.
And the thing that they explained, that Paul Downs explained, is the characters were supposed to be Trumpers. Like, right. Or, like, Moms for Liberty.
They didn't get the joke.
So she didn't get what the joke was about. She was like, right. I'm a caveman.
Right.
And you're like, no, you're supposed to be a crazy, and that's why Moms for Liberty. No, it's literally like a Mom for Liberty being like, how dare you? I don't believe in Homo sapiens.
Right.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Like, you know what I mean? The ooh, ooh, ooh is like a little side thing.
Exactly.
And Corey King
just doesn't get it.
Was with that
just,
outfit.
She just doesn't get it.
Doesn't have good looks. Doesn't have good comedy.
No.
Bye. Isn't a good lip. Like, I don't think there's anything going on.
Bye-bye. Nothing going on. Except a annoying passive-aggressive Plain Jane imitation.
Yeah. I will say, but she's good TV because she's delusional. But
super
Lana
delusional.
Lana Jarrett then starts going off on Susie Toot in the Untucked. And being like, I should have been in the top. You were not good. Like, it's just delusion. And this is
it's
the
delusion.
Thing. These are young queens. It was basically Jewel Sparkle, Lana Jarrett, Arietti, Corey King, and Crystal Envy, and Lexi Love. Lexi Love wasn't saying anything, but in the background, she was just shaking her head like this whenever Arietti and them talked, and whenever Susie was talking.
Yeah. Well, those are, I mean, honestly,
violently.
Those are all the ones that kind of overestimate themselves.
Those girls need to remember that there's something called season 5 of Drag Race. Relaska talks versus Jinx, and everybody is bringing up, this feels like when Roxy Andrews and Detox were trashing Jinx.
Yeah.
And we all know what happened.
We all know why. Mm-hmm.
But we all know who came. It's like you're villainizing yourself. And I think Jewel Sparkle might have seen it because Anya then went off being like, because Jules finally said, I feel like we're yelling at her. She did not, she's not in control that she was in the top. It was finally like a thing of like, she did not, that wasn't her that said she was in the top. And then Anya was like, girl, what are you all like? You're all sour, like you all have sour grapes. Like it's just reading really sour.
Anya is the only one I feel with her head screwed on straight. She's the only one with any sort of kind of common sense and who sees the world for what it is.
Well, the previews for next week. Somebody sabotages Lexi Love's outfit. Did you see that in the previews?
No. And they're going to blame Anya because what she did to Jewel.
So this season is
this
messy.
This is good.
But I'll tell you this. I love it. The fact that they put a lot of really young queens that are too young to be like, don't act crazy. I just love it.
Yeah. They're super great. Delusional.
It's the delusion is... It's delusion, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. It's Dunt.
It's Dunt.
And I love it. I love it.
That's wonderful. We should talk about some X-Men books, but girl, we got to cruise through that because I need to go soon.
Okay, let's do it.
It's Mutants with Powers Omega for Hours. Bitch, let's read some X-Men.
I think that is that was so weird. I'm sorry. I think that's the first time I was like in the middle of a podcast. Like, could we hurry up?
Can we hurry up?
I've never done that before, but can we hurry up? Okay.
All right. Let's talk about X-Men. Well,
I didn't take out the Storm Life Dream. It was cute. Yeah. You didn't read it. It was cute. It's a lot of
those things where it's like a compilation of things.
Yeah. But it's
like,
one,
I don't care.
It's one story. I thought it was going to be different stories by different creators. It's actually four creators doing one pulled through story.
I just didn't want to read like a montage of.
Yeah, it's a celebration of Storm, but ultimately skippable. Ultimately skippable. It's a celebration of Storm. 50 years of Storm. 50 years of SNL. 50 years of Storm.
I love Storm. She's awesome. Yeah, great.
I didn't realize Storm was born in Harlem. That was one thing I learned.
What?
From this book. I never knew that she was born in Harlem, New York.
And then moved to Cairo?
Or like Kenya? I guess, but she was born in Harlem and then they went to that. That's what it says in this book. I was like, okay. Anyway, I live in Storm.
Wasn't she a pickpocket in Cairo?
Yeah. Like her parents die in Cairo, right?
Yeah. But
she's born in Harlem.
From what country is she originally from? Because she's not Egyptian.
She was born here.
No, but I mean her
I don't know.
Ethnic background. Who knows? But Storm's amazing.
Is she Kenyan?
I love her.
Yeah,
that's
she's amazing. It's great.
Psylocke.
I don't like your tone.
My toe? Yeah. I didn't say anything. I like this book. What are you talking about? Yeah, I was like,
you said Psylocke like a sigh, maybe because it's the word sigh.
Well, it was like, just, no, I think like, it was me Psylocke. Psylocke. It's me saying it as in like, okay, how do I say this fast?
Oh, fun. Thank you for honoring my request. I love this book.
Psylocke, it's great. I feel this book is doing what a lot of the books are not doing. It's really establishing personal like the fact that there's like a weird kind of evil love triangle between Shinobi and
Grey Crow.
Grey Crow. That's fascinating. I kind of love it.
Yeah.
They're giving her like a backstory. She's also kind of saving these kids. They established a new kind of villain that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Sadistic, weird.
Yeah.
Someone even Shinobi Shaw is kind of like afraid of, disgusted by.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're just like, it's the same thing with like Gail Simone, where you're like, you either got it or you don't. It's just good writing.
This reads like a really good, you know what this reads like? This reads like what, like a action thriller from like the 80s or 90s. Like this is like a Mickey Rourke or like one of those. I'm trying to like struggle with like to name one, but like a Miami Vice-ish.
What's the Batman with the three Joker. What's that one?
The Killing Joke.
The Killing Joke. Does it have that kind of vibe? Not plot wise.
No, I just like to me this just feels like a cool action movie from the late 80s. Like this feels like a Lethal Weapon. It's great.
It's great.
This feels like a.
So thank you, Psylocke, for.
I don't know, like an Angel Heat.
But it's so funny because like Laura Kinney Wolverine is trying to do this and it's not.
Yeah, this so far is the most successful solo X-Men
Storm
book.
Storm is good.
But this is pretty. This is tight. Like Storm is not tight. This Psylocke book is tight. It's great. You didn't read West Coast Avengers.
West Coast Avengers
number 3.
So do we discover who the other Ultron is?
So it turns out when Ultron split from Hank Pym, Ultron was catatonic and alone floating through outer space and then woke up and was not able to get back to Earth. I don't know for some reason, but was able to cure his loneliness by creating a second Ultron. And then these two Ultron existed together floating through space and started to philosophize about life and their mission and what they should be doing. And then they're both inherently like trying to help the Earth. But this one, the bad one with the wings, who's decapitating people and putting them on robot bodies, he's like, this is his way. Of like this is his path.
So the other Ultron knows who this one is.
And the other Ultron, they're basically twin brothers. And like the other Ultron does know. Like the comment at the end of 2 of like, I don't know who the fuck that is. Like it's kind of a lie. There is an origin. And maybe that Ultron doesn't remember. I don't know. But that Ultron and this Ultron have a history. And so the other Ultron, the one on the team, decided that he was going to be a protector. And that was his path. And so it's about these two.
So there's probably going to be an Ultron versus Ultron showdown.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of that here. This is essentially a big fight between Ultron and his minions, the headless people, and Ultron and the West Coast Avengers. And basically what this Ultron is promising is a life without pain, a life without stress. Like, you know, I cured this woman who had fatal cancer by chopping her head off and putting her on a robot body. Look how happy she is. And she actually knows Jessica Drew. So, you know, Jessica Drew is like talking to her like, what the fuck did they do to you?
Yeah, because she was in the first episode talking to her, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's a friend. Yeah. She's a friend of Jessica Drew. So it's pretty interesting. And then
do they win or is it still like ongoing?
It's a little bit of like retreat. Like it's still ongoing, but they do retreat from one another. What Ultron flies back into his like giant tower. And what's cool is the Avengers are talking and then all of a sudden they're like, wait, where's Jessica? And then you see Jessica like way up at the top of the tower, like crawling into a hole. So she is just going to take off on her own and do a little stealth of like spying on Ultron and like what all this is about.
Because she now has a personal thing in it that offended
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Firestar is the best part of this book. She yeah. is a fucking mess, and she is an asshole. Like, she's such a cunt, especially to robots. She is so awful.
She's so traumatized from Nimrod.
She goes to kill the minions, the people who had their heads chopped off and put up. She's like burning them alive. Like they still have skin on their faces, and she's like burning their skin off. And Iron Man is like, "You're fucking killing them. Like, stop." And she's like, "No, fuck them." Like, it's because they have robot bodies.
They chose to be a robot. They're yeah. now on the enemy
she's like,
side.
"No, they chose to be a robot. Fuck them." And she like almost like she tries to kill them. It's great. But the ending. Oh, so the big thing about the Ultron is like, he kind of makes sense. There's people who are like, actually, that sounds cool. Like, I have cancer. Chop my head off. Put me in a robot body. I would love that. And so there's people like flocking to him. And so Tony is trying to stop people from flocking to Ultron. So he goes to the Illuminati at the end. And he asks Emma Frost to telepathically sway everyone away from Ultron. And she goes, no. She's like, no.
Wait, literally, is Emma Frost taking Xavier's place in the Illuminati?
I guess. Like, the Illuminati's Blue Marvel, Doctor Strange, Emma Frost. And yeah, I think she's been on it for a while now. And she is basically like, no.
And yeah, that's like, a lot why? To ask.
And she's like,
she's not big on taking the free will of people away.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm tired. She's like, I just got done with the whole Krakoa thing. Like, I don't wanna. I'm sorry. And he's like, okay, then the Avengers will do it the hard way. And that's how it ends.
Also, it's really hard to tell someone, like, you're gonna die. Or you could live forever as this robot. And they're like, don't do that. And you're like, yeah, but I'm dying. That.
Yeah. Okay. X-Men number 10.
Just like one long face-off.
One long face-up. I think there were some really nice surprises here. Like the Hellions.
The Hellions. Yes. We see fucking Phantom X finally shows up.
Girl, do you know who showed up? You know how like everybody has got that like D-list mutant who they kind of love because of how they were posing in the background of a panel one time? Locus.
Oh.
I am obsessed with Locus. I'm obsessed with Locus because, number one, they didn't know what race she was for a while. Like, when she first showed up, she was like a white blonde, and then she was a person of color. And then I think maybe she was white. And people were like, is Locus black or white? And I'm like, oh my God, what a mess. But also, when she was with... Was it like the Mutant Liberation Front?
Did she start out as the upstarts? What did she start
out? Or like Mutant Liberation Front and like maybe a little bit of upstarts. But I just always loved her. Why? Because she had a high pony. She's this teleporting girl with a high pony. And I'm like, that's all I need. I love Locus. She's a mess. She has a high pony. People think she's magic. I love her.
And then there's Bedlam, and then Bedlam's brother.
King Bedlam. Jesse Bedlam and his brother, King Bedlam.
And I really, that was all when I wasn't really reading the
comics. Yeah, I don't know
so
King
I
Bedlam.
I don't have any connection to any of them, really. But yeah. I love that it was Phantom X and Boom.
Love that it was Phantom X. And I love that this is a team that's got put together to just do massive damage.
So basically X-Force. It's weird he's calling them Hellions when they seem to be kind of X-Force-y.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the Dark Ops? What is it? Special Ops?
Black Ops.
Black Ops. Yeah.
I did read King Bedlam did have a history with the Hellions. Like, I think he had his own team called the Hellions once. But I got to
dig more. But for me, this whole thing was about he's fighting with this one dude. What's the dude's name?
Yeah, that dude. The soldier.
The soldier who's kind of the new...
Lundquist.
AIM? Or because it's not Orcus anymore.
It's One.
One. But basically, the final threat is he's like, my wife is the Phoenix, and if I die, she'll just come back and destroy the whole Earth. That's kind of the best thing that was written in this entire comic run so far.
And he said this before. Like, he's dropped this card a few times now in this series.
But this is the first one where literally he's like promising that she will end the world.
Like, she will end the world.
Which she 100% would not do, but they don't know that.
But they don't know that.
And but then Quentin's like, I heard that.
Yeah. This is
and
great.
He's kind of like, well, it might happen. So you're going to have to help take care of that if that does kind of happen.
And not Quentin's only that.
Like, huh?
Yeah. He's like, why do you think you're on the team? I loved that.
But because so that makes like, me why think, does Quentin Cyclops Quire on this believe team? That then? That means he doesn't trust his wife as the Phoenix.
Were you there for the Dark Phoenix saga?
No, I know. But the fact that that's the reason they are not together. I think the real reason she left is because she knows he doesn't trust
her. He's not comfortable.
She can't be around it.
Yeah.
She needs to fucking come back. We need to end that fucking Phoenix run, and she needs to come back.
Yeah, and just be an X-Man.
Yes. And let them have their problems.
Yes.
And let them have their problems and let them get divorced. And then Emma is going to be real confused because Cyclops and Tony Stark are going to both wooing her. And now she's like, oh, no, I'm the one that gets to have two loves, bitch, not you.
That's right.
So this is I'm liking this.
I liked this issue a lot. Yeah, this was
good. So I'm liking that X-Men and Uncanny and Exceptional, they're doing okay.
They're
a lot. We got Psylocke
delivering.
And Storm. So that's five books. It's five books that are okay. So we need to look at that. That's a lot. For us,
that's good.
Keep shitting on all of the books. I mean, there's still Dazzler and Phoenix and Sentinels and...
Dazzler's over. Sentinels will be over soon. Phoenix ain't going to last much longer.
Yeah, there's still a
Phoenix
lot of
Phoenix will end with
ones.
Issue 10, I guarantee you.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. We did it. We did it.
We did it. I love it. I love it. Oh my God, I'm going to watch Untucked. I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to Comic Book Queers. This has been episode 332. We are grateful for you. If you like the show and you listen to us on audio only, please consider visiting us on YouTube and subscribing. I think if we get one more subscriber, I will be very happy. We'll get a very nice round number and I'll be happy.
10.
10. One. So do that. And also, you're gay.
How are we gay? Why are we gay?
Because you read comics.
Oh, that's right. Because if you read comics, well, then that makes you
queer. Bye.
Bye.
Nice. Let's do a thumbnail where we look scared because Ghostface is over our shoulder.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
Love it.
Love it.